We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is OMF on EEI.
There was the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony that NBC had promoted for days now. And so the NFL, which usually takes a backseat to nobody, now we'll start at 3:40, 12:40 on the West Coast there, Scott. So if you're having lunch in California, you can have lunch and watch the Ravens Steelers, one of the great rivalries in the NFL, kick off on a Wednesday at midday to wrap up the longest week 12 in NFL history.
Is that unbelievable? And that's why we're playing afternoon football, because the Christmas tree ceremony on NBC with Dolly Parton. Last year it drew Dolly Parton. It drew
What year is it, by the way?
A 1.1 rating a year ago. That would be just under 7 million viewers. I'm surprised they had that many people.
It's a big number of viewers.
Like no other.
1.1 rating, isn't it?
And let me give you Monday night.
What does the Charlie Brown Christmas special get? Like, what is that one? Like, the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. It probably gets more viewers than the NBC.
The NFL.
They're not showing it this year.
Not the NFL.
They're not showing the Charlie Brown thing. It's going to a streaming service.
Okay.
Well, Michael Holly's streaming service, Peacock, by the way.
They found a problem with the Thanksgiving one, too, apparently.
Oh, it was racially insensitive? Is that what
problem.
It is?
Franklin was sitting on the other side of the table, apparently, and that was an issue. Chiefs-Pats, to give you an idea of what the rating would be for Monday night on NBC at 7 o'clock when they move that game. An 8.3 rating and 14.6 million viewers. So the NFL obviously would have done much better tonight than the Christmas tree ceremony. But my guess is money again. They got extra money out of this deal.
Well,
and you can't do the tree ceremony in the daytime, right?
No, and that's the thing. Tree ceremonies, like, I don't know who the hell sits down as a family and watches it. Obviously, 6.89 viewers do. And you can't really do that during the day.
No.
Right? So you got to keep that at night. And they might sit there and say, well, I'll tell you what. Our ratings from 3:40 to, say, 6:40 or 7 o'clock will be a lot higher than they've ever been. So that's going to be a big bump for them. You know, maybe they don't get the 14.6 million viewers that, like, Chiefs-Pats got from Monday Night Football. But I still bet you they do a pretty good number for a 3:40 game. You add it up, they did pretty well.
I would think so. It's been a real sloppy game.
It's awful.
Terrible game. It's Dolly Parton, Meghan Trainor. Isn't she from Nantucket? She's in Nantucket,
she is.
Right? Yeah, Kelly Clarkson. Brett Eldridge,
good.
Tori Kelly, and the Goo Goo Dolls.
Who is that?
The Goo Goo Dolls?
The Goo Goo Dolls.
I go back to, what year is this?
Honest to God.
This would be a cool lineup in like 1998.
Yeah, but throw it back a little bit.
But you know what they're doing, these Christmas
tree. The Goo Goo Dolls?
These Christmas tree lighting ceremonies.
Rick Springfield?
What do you think the average age is for the viewer of this thing? Like 64?
Probably Dale's age.
Yes.
I bet you Dale's a big.
Look at the beautiful twinkling lights, I would say. Do you know how many strands of lights? There's enough lights there to go from here to Albuquerque.
Stop it.
So here's the question. Why are they playing this game right now? Considering everything that's happened, Maurkice Pouncey, just a couple of hours before the kickoff, they announced that he's going on the COVID reserve list. And as Teddy pointed out, the reason the game is really sloppy is because players are totally out of their routine. The Ravens haven't practiced in, 10 days? And on top of that, they have a depleted roster. And so they're playing backup players who aren't familiar with playing a starting role. And it's a mess.
And there's been a few injuries here already.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's probably, you know, one of your bigger concerns. These guys haven't done anything for a while. But, yeah, it's a good question. I really don't. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens here in the next few days. Well, the biggest question right now is what would it take to cancel a football game? And I guess they could do it if the schedule allows it at a later date, but here we are. We've got, one more week of buys. So this is it. I mean, this is it. So I don't know what it would take. Apparently, nothing. Apparently, there's nothing out there that they would do it with, because you're talking about 10 straight days We've seen this before. The one thing that can stop games is an outbreak, an entire week. You know, it never ends. And you know, you don't have it under control. The Ravens don't have this thing under control. Today was the first day in their rapid tests where they were negative. So, but it was 10 straight days before that. And even stranger, yesterday they came out and said, all negative, no positives. And then like 3 hours later, they came back and said, actually, that's not true. Two more people, a player and a coach. So do I really even trust that there were no negatives here today? No, they might have buried it. We'll just throw it on tomorrow. Because it would be really bad optics if this game is played and we let you know that two more Ravens for the 11th straight day tested positive.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm amazed at how committed and determined they are to make sure there's no – there's especially now when there's only 5 weeks left in the season.
Buys are done. Next week, that's it.
So, okay, so how about this? So do you guys think they have done a good job? Do you think that the NFL has done a good job?
Yeah, I think they've done a good job.
The situations they've handed.
To this show this week with this situation, they have, but this was a mess.
Yeah, think about it. Okay, so fine. So we were saying the same thing in September with the Tennessee Titans, then with the New England Patriots, and with the Raiders. Like every single team that has an issue, they have done an excellent job managing it. They manage it. They deal with it. The Denver Broncos, it was their damn fault in the first place. And then after that, there's no issues. You haven't heard one issue or one mistake by the Tennessee Titans. The New England Patriots have been clean. The Raiders, after they got fined, have been clean. The Saints, I mean, the Broncos, they're all back to normal. So what they do, you have one team out of 32. And with this, you had two teams out of 32, which I think is an outlier. But on the whole, I give them the benefit of the doubt knowing that they did the right thing. And this isn't a normal year, and not every team is created equal. And the Ravens are playing this game without their starting quarterback, just like you, the New England Patriots, played against the Kansas City Chiefs without your starting quarterback.
Can I
so
give you this?
There is no favoritism.
Yeah, talk about how sloppy it was. So Baltimore has the ball first and goal at the one-yard line. There was only one problem. They were out of timeouts. They did not score. They did not score.
So I'm trying to
run
the
it
one.
In
okay, but this
with
is
like
part
20,
of it.
15 seconds to go with no timeouts.
So the coaches are in some sort of COVID fog. That's not a player issue. That's a coach issue.
But let me ask you. So does this sound like somebody that's like handling it properly when Roger Goodell speaks to the media, you know, before this game, and says that he insists that the NFL is safely and responsibly completing the season? He goes on and talks about how the Ravens game was postponed originally to make sure the virus was contained and that medical experts are now convinced that it has been. He's saying 10 days in a row. It has not been contained. And then he finished up with this one.
You're being too critical.
Well, how about this? Health and medical decisions have and always will take precedence over competitive considerations and business interests. You can't stand by that comment and while you're still watching this football game here today.
Why?
And believe that safety and health and medical decisions will always take precedence.
He's lying as ass.
Because it's not. It didn't hear today.
It's all about business.
In a week, if you have an epidemic, if the Ravens get just completely broke down and next week's game and then the Steelers and it creates some sort of domino effect for the last 5 weeks of the season, I will come back. I will tell you I was wrong. They completely screwed this one up. This is the one that got to them. This is the one that affected them. And it took, pretty much three-quarters of the season for it finally to catch up to them. But based on the history, and they have history, they have lots of documented history. They cut their teeth with the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, the Raiders. They have so many examples of holding true to their protocols and their way of going about it. So when he says safety is important, I believe him because you know what, Lou?
I don't.
Because if it wasn't, those guys wouldn't be out there. They would be holding out. They would say no. They would say no.
Are you serious about that?
Yeah, you're so naive right now.
I always believe that the NFL does the right thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, okay.
They haven't contained it, and they're still playing.
Yeah.
How do you know they haven't contained it?
Because yesterday, when the Baltimore Ravens flew to Pittsburgh, while they were on the plane, they found out that another player was positive, who was practiced with in the last 2 days.
So some guy gets it on the plane. They're all sitting away from each other. They all have masks on. It's not like that guy got infected that day, right then and there. So you saying that they're not contained, I mean, you're just, it's like, you know, potato, potato. He's not going to come out there and say it's not contained after all these examples of all these situations that teams have
had. You are so
where
naive.
They have overcome it. In a week from now, you won't hear anything about the Baltimore Ravens.
Let me give you the answer to this. The answer is very simple. We need to put these games on because we have a contract with NBC.
Is that what Roger Goodell said out loud? Yeah. Is this a quote? Or is
this is the true story.
Is Glenn?
The crap that he's giving
crap
you,
reporter?
He's talking about the safety and the health of the players.
Scoop.
And we've controlled the COVID-19. That's all they're
controlled anything. They said they
it's all about
it.
There has to be some serious financial issues on why this team refuses to play week 18.
Well, I think
part
of it might be that if they get into a situation there and they don't get to finish out the schedule, then they have to add an eighth team.
Do you think they'd hate to do that?
Yeah, because I'm
an
not
extra
sure
game.
I'm not sure the net. Yes, because I'm not sure that the networks are suddenly in this situation where they're losing money as well. They're admitting that the sponsorship is down.
So what do you do? You add a playoff game in each league. That first weekend, you'd be adding two games.
If you're going to give it away for nothing to the networks, because I don't think the networks are going to pay big money for that right now, because I think they're hurting as well. They're moving all of these games around. This game today does not have the same appeal it would have had as if it were played as a 4:30 game or a night game.
Yeah, and I know this game here is kind of like an outlier, right? Like they were supposed to get an NBC game.
Well, we've moved
games
to Tuesdays where a small audience or a doubleheader on Monday twice.
You know, I think that some of them might have gotten screwed, but you could sit there and say, okay, well, we're going to give you an extra playoff game. I mean, NBC, you're pissed off, you're losing right now, but you know, I think there's always money in playoff games. Both sides would love to have that extra playoff game.
Don't you think it'd be really unfair if you set up a bye system, and we understand you changed it this year. Last year, the first two teams would get a bye in each conference, and now this year it's down to one. And that one team, whether it's Pittsburgh or Kansas City, at the end you say, hey, sorry, guys, we changed our mind. Now you've got to play.
You know the real week that I'm probably going to give the league officials a lot of sleepless nights, and that's week 17. If you have this situation week 17 and you have, the Steelers, they probably end up getting a bye, but let's say it's Kansas City or it's Indianapolis or it's Tennessee or it's the Raiders, one of the playoff teams in the AFC, and week 17, that last week has to get postponed. And they have to push that to Tuesday or Wednesday. What does week 18 look like for your first weekend of playoff games? Like, you can't have the playoff games at that point in time. If they hold true to this, week 17 is going to be the be-all, end-all. Because if you have to have a situation where playoff teams, their games have to get pushed into the week, no one's going to play a game on Wednesday, then play a playoff game on Sunday.
Cannot.
I will say this.
Monday night playoffs. Tuesday night playoffs.
No. That's
well, it also depends on which teams those are. I mean,
a playoff team.
Well, yeah, I guess a playoff team.
If you have a team, if you have
why can't you
Jacksonville
play Tuesday or Monday?
And the Jets, I guess you could. Ultimately, you could. But then we're talking about competitive disadvantage. This guy's playing, having all this rest, and we don't get any rest. And you're going to tell me, well, it doesn't matter. You're the reason you're in this situation, so deal with it. Suck it up. Now, I will say this. If you have a team like the Jets and, say, the Patriots who are not in the playoffs, let's assume they're not in the playoffs.
You play Thursday, you get a free game.
Yeah, you just get an extra game. That situation is easy. But the one that'll kill them is when you have playoff teams that where you have to force them to play on a Wednesday, because now what do? Have some games on Monday and Tuesday?
Listen, I guess the reality is that, you know, you always want to play them if you can. They definitely pushed it with this one, because you could have a week 18, and who's to say a week 18 it won't happen? You know, who's to say they could have a week 18 Sunday, and all of a sudden another thing happens, and now you're playing a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night, and that team's getting ready for, you know, the first round of the playoffs the following week. So,
yeah, see, the easiest thing they have at their disposal is they can move that Super Bowl game, because you're not going to have fans there, or not going to have a lot of fans there.
Right.
Second of all, you don't have the Pro Bowl anymore. Okay, they've done away with that this year. So you can actually move that ahead a couple weeks, and you can move just fast, you know, move the schedule ahead a couple weeks. You can do that. I think they're more likely to do that than to suddenly add that eighth team. I just think we're going to look at it and say, well, wait a minute. You're putting the team that got the number one seed, and these were the rules we were going with.
And that does suck for those two teams.
Yep.
There's no question about it. Pittsburgh stays undefeated. Like, and that would happen to Pittsburgh with the way the year's gone on for them.
Yeah.
Right? They stay undefeated, and all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, you're only 15-0, so therefore you're going to be playing the 8 seed. Yep. There is no bye.
Yep.
Like, that would suck for those two teams.
I do think that we're just seeing a little glimpse of how chaotic it can be, because you're right. So let's say you start the playoffs. Are we going to are we sending all the playoff teams to a bubble? Are we doing that? Are the playoffs teams going to all go to one place like a bowl game? And then once you're out, you can go home?
They're still discussing that.
I would do that.
They're still discussing that.
To be honest with you, I would actually, just so there is no stoppage in play, as soon as the regular season over, I would give all of them 2 weeks. I would give them all 2 weeks and then ship them to some city. And that way,
what do you mean give them all 2 weeks? 2 weeks you do nothing?
I would give them, there would be an NFL bye week for playoff games.
Quarantine for.
They'd have to be quarantined. You couldn't send them home.
No, that would be the worst thing. You would not go home. You would not get home. So you just have you're just losing one. So even so, teams. I guess I wouldn't work. I tell you what, like, I can only imagine the dude who's having to deal with the scheduling is smoking like a pack of cigarettes every hour, freaking out like that scene from Airplane where the guy's like going crazy because he can't figure out what's going on.
I guess Goodell spoke today. He doesn't see them using a bubble. You know, just adding, you know, ways to reduce risk with the players and the personnel and everything else. So, I mean, it is, you know, the NBA makes a lot of sense, right? You're going to have the playoffs. NHL, you're going to do it. You're going to come back after taking a layoff when this virus hit everything. But the NFL, it's like MLB, and you're sitting there. And I know they did it for the ALCS, NLCS, and the World Series, but, you know, you've been doing it like this the whole time. I don't know. I mean, baseball sat there and said, we need a World Series. Sorry, you guys are going in the bubble. Like, we've already lost enough money. The NFL can probably they can push back. They don't concern with weather as much as maybe baseball would, pushing it to November, pushing it to December, pushing it to when it was going to get worse. The NFL can push forward. They could push it to mid-February if they want.
See, it's interesting that the commissioner's coming on at halftime and talking all about this and this game here tonight, because to me, or this afternoon, this game really is a scientific experiment, because I think to this point, we have not seen a case of anybody contracting the virus out there on the field. So if we know that there have been players who have played who have been positive, but they haven't given it to somebody else, all right? That part I think we know. But now you're putting two teams out there. Both teams have got cases, and both teams are all in a locker room together where you're in close contact. And that, we know, is where players are contracting this. So Albert Breer wrote this a few hours ago. The data the NFL has gathered was that more than 90% of the positive cases have come within 5 days of a close contact. The Ravens and Steelers were scheduled to play last Thursday, so we're past that window. Even from the original date of the game, everyone who has deemed a high-risk close contact of a positive test has either contracted the virus or is now isolated. And then he goes on to say that he talked to one person involved in all of this and said, if they play the game today and there's an outbreak on the Steelers, the season is effectively over.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that he's overreacting.
He's overreacting on that.
It's carnage in the streets. Was it Schefter?
And the children died,
it was Schefter, wasn't it?
Right.
It was Schefter. Yeah, carnage in the streets. No, I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe it either. I mean, they'll have a PR nightmare. I mean, and Roger Goodell knows what that's all about, right? And he knows probably how to handle it. He just went on at halftime, fed some crap, no big deal, and they'll just sort of ignore it and wait till the noise sort of disappears, and they'll move on.
Yeah, and I would say, okay, our goal is to make sure we finish on time and we start the playoffs on time and we keep the Super Bowl where it's at. We just like our schedule. We're committed to our schedule. But hey, Roger, worst case scenario, listen, we move it 2 weeks. We move it 2 weeks. But they are not budging from their desire to finish the season on this current schedule. Like, that, they do not want to deviate from that. And I respect that. I respect it if you can do it the right way. And so far, every major situation that they have run into, they have handled. The fact that this game's being played on a Wednesday, it did kind of affect some other teams. But remember all the other teams that lost all their bye weeks?
Yeah, but let's also remember there's one other thing that has gone on here. And it's the part of the hysteria that deals in society with COVID-19 is that we're dealing with young athletes who are in really good shape, and most of them do not have any underlying health issues. And so, therefore, these guys are testing positive, and a majority of them, 99% of them, are asymptomatic. And those that have gotten sick have got the sniffles or something like that. There have only been a couple guys that have had worse than that. So nobody's really getting badly sick, or nobody is dying. None of that is happening. Now, in the rest of society, we know that people that are aged and up 80-plus, those are the people that are dying right now. So there's no carnage that's going on, as you said.
No carnage in the street.
No carnage.
It is a pain in the ass, so I'll tell you what. I'm dealing with it now in my house, and it is a pain in the ass. Yeah. It just, I can only
pain
imagine.
For everybody.
I can just only imagine when you're dealing with so many people. So you're not only talking about the players, but you're also talking about the support staff, the trainers, the, you know, the strength coaches, the coaches, and everything, and just game day workers, all that stuff that goes
into
it.
Do you remember when we first started talking about this and we said, what happens if one NFL player actually dies because of this?
See, why do you got to be that guy?
To bring it up? We brought it up at the beginning.
That was a morbid take.
So that would change anything. So you're talking about, is the NFL doing a good job with it?
Yeah.
Well, the NFL, I guess, is doing a pretty good job with it. But so far, we're dealing with young, well-conditioned athletes
who this is not affecting them that much. It's irrelevant.
No, that's not irrelevant at all.
My point is, like, you're that to me is irrelevant. Like, if it's...
How is that irrelevant when we have 250,000 plus deaths right now, but that's not what's happening to the demographics of the guys who are playing in the National Football
League? No, which is the argument of, like, you know, if you're sick, then, okay, take you off the field and everybody else plays. And then that's why you sit and say, okay, he's sick. How soon can he be back on the field? I mean, we're past the thoughts and prayers. People say, okay, what does Kamath do? Well, he's got to do 20, 48 hours. He's got to pass the test twice, and he's fine, and he's negative, and he comes out and he plays the following week. But when they start talking about health and safety of the players, you know, we're already seeing it in this game. These guys don't practice for a week and a half, then they go get in a car crash. And their bodies break down. They get injured. You know, or you know, you have a team that's decimated and lose all these players that play at this level, and they have practice squad guys coming up, and they're getting manhandled, and they're getting hurt. So it's more like the injuries on the field that are maybe happening with teams that can't practice for a week or two.
Yeah,
that's a small part of it.
What safety are we talking about when one team hasn't practiced in 10 days and we're throwing them out there, putting their bodies in harm's way?
Yeah, competitive balance, yeah. Forget about it. We said that a while ago. If you're up for competitive balance, then you're in a wrong discussion.
See, that to me is about the hypocritical part. That to me was like, that was an optic move by the NFL. Okay, we all know we don't care about competitive balance, but how do we fake it? You know what? I'm going to start a committee. You know what? How do we feel about domestic violence? I'm gonna create a whole, you know, task force and a czar, and she's gonna be a woman. And every time something happens, she can do it. We don't hear of that ever again. I'm gonna create a competition committee task force. We're gonna make sure everyone's treated fairly. They don't care.
No,
it's an optic move. That's all it is. Like, listen, there's probably somewhere in New York City or whoever. Maybe they're out of their house. They have a title, a little thing on the door, but nobody's in there. It's empty. It's an empty room.
By the way, talking about deaths, we had a bad day in Massachusetts. 4,613 new coronavirus cases, but you ready for this? 46 more deaths. This is a single day high for Massachusetts.
Single day high
for cases. The deaths have been higher than that.
Well,
so
but also,
get ready for everything to be shut down
what
again.
What did you expect? Like hundreds of thousands of healthy individuals went and got tested on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
The week after Thanksgiving, yeah. Right.
No, I mean, before that, exactly too.
It's the same reason why in the fall, I mean, how many healthy people had to go get tested because of a close contact in the hockey or the school system or the teachers? And I mean, Thanksgiving, please, we had to know there was going to be a big spike. Everyone and their brother. How about like the lines on Friday?
Yeah.
Like people after Thanksgiving that are just like, I'm totally fine, but I'm going to just go and get tested because I want to feel safe about it. And so of course,
but
there's going to be a
you'll
huge
get the same
spike here this
week,
and people
Christmas.
Are going to go nuts.
Yeah. But okay, so you're going to have probably a 6-7 day time period where people who are leaving, even though they told you not to leave, so Thanksgiving's on Thursday, people were getting tested on Wednesday and on Tuesday. So whoever they were going to visit, they would feel comfortable. And then, of course, when people came back on Friday or on Saturday, and then everyone who flew back on Monday and Tuesday. So I'm not surprised by that at all.
And there'll be an overreaction, and they'll start shutting everything down once again because they're just going to look at those numbers.
They'll shame us and tell us we're not doing a good job.
Exactly.
And we're doing it.
And then they'll go to a restaurant.
Because of what you did over Thanksgiving, your kid can't go to school, or your restaurant is shut down. You're going to lose your business when it is like, what did you really think?
So how
all those people, I mean, Mayor Walsh is sitting there. Marty's telling everybody to go get tested. Everyone's to go get tested, go get tested. All right. So how many more tests did we have on Tuesday and Wednesday so people could feel safe around their house? And then again on Friday, you know, or Saturday if they do it on Saturdays, or Monday because you just came back and you want to get tested. I mean, everybody is getting tested. And if they were totally fine.
Yeah, the test should not be the number that people look at. They should look at hospitalizations. They should look at deaths. Those should be the numbers. By the way, this is how bad this football game is. It is 12-7 right now. It is horrendous. Pittsburgh winning this game. The Ravens finished the first half, guys, with 11 net passing yards. 11. Only the Broncos against the Saints 3 days ago had fewer first half passing yards of any team in a game this season. They had zero in that game, and of course they started that kid, what's his name, Hinton, was the quarterback who ended up going 1 of 9 in the game. I mean, this has just been a horrible game.
It looks like a lower-end bowl game between two, like, 5-5 teams that's played in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it feels like, because, like, those games, nobody goes to, it's sloppy, none of the kids want to be there, they just want to hurry up and get it over with. I mean, that's what it feels like. But, hey, they got it in. That's all that matters. We got the game in.
Ka-ching, we got the check from the network, Commissioner.
And
we
I would say the players. The players are happy, too. They're getting paid.
Yeah.
None of these guys want to miss a week's pay.
That's for sure. They're happy they're getting paid. I'm not sure they're thrilled about the fact that they have to play a game in this situation. If you tell me you're the Ravens and you've got to go to Pittsburgh, the one undefeated team in the league, you've got to play them in Pittsburgh, and, oh, yeah, you haven't practiced in 10 days.
Oh, you know what I would say to the Ravens? I would say, hey, remember the New England Patriots? They actually flew the day of, played in some crappy, small-ass locker room, and there was no bitching or complaining. Yeah, you heard a little bit from Bill, just a little bit.
That?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to hear your – the fact that the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots basically set the bar. They set the bar. Look what we don't want to hear you bitching and complaining. Hey, if you're the league, look what we did. Look what we did to Denver.
They did not have a quarterback. Like they're actually in this ball game because Pittsburgh is sloppy as hell as well.
Wouldn't this be something?
They've had some issues.
Wouldn't this be something if this is the one game that Pittsburgh loses this year? That Baltimore
not to Robert Griffin III
with a backup
and
quarterback.
Lose the number one seed.
He's running. He is running right now.
Well, the backup quarterback. No, they're not going to lose this game.
Looked like he pulled a hammy earlier in the game, but he's still out there. He's fighting through it.
You know what Teddy was talking about? You know, Cyndi Lauper's song, True Colors?
Yes.
When he referring to Cam Newton? That's basically Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
So if they need him to win it with his arm, good luck. It's going to
happen. Ain't
going to
happen. And the other thing, too, Pittsburgh, it's like, you know, didn't they get Ingram and Dobbins? Aren't they both back for this game?
No, they're both out.
No.
They're eligible to play, but they did not bring them back from the COVID list.
Oh, okay. I didn't even watch it. I haven't followed it that much. I haven't seen anything on it. But, yeah, they were eligible to come back. But big Gus Edwards game.
Edwards is out there right now. So we're keeping our eye on that. It was interesting what Teddy was saying, though, about the Cam Newton stuff, which everybody has been saying. Tom Curran has done the flip-flop already, right, a couple times. Didn't he do it, like, twice? Because originally, wasn't he for... Cam Newton thought Cam Newton was...
Originally, he wanted no part of Cam Newton.
That was because of his love
believe.
For Brady,
then
probably.
He wrote an apology letter after week three.
Correct.
And then I think he started leaning towards where he is right now, and he is done. He is good. He doesn't want to see it ever again.
So we're not going to do this every single week, are we? Where we flip-flop and go from week to week.
No, I think we're done flip-flopping, aren't we? I don't care what he looks like the next 4 or 5 weeks. I think we're done flip-flopping.
I hope so, because I think there might be a time where he comes out and he looks pretty good, and I think a lot of it is what Teddy was saying. They're putting him in the best position they can, the coaching staff is, to minimalize the damage out there of him
the
throwing the football.
He can do?
Yeah.
So he's going to do the opposite of do damage, right?
Yeah,
Red Sox theme.
You don't want him to throw the football an awful lot, do you? I mean, we saw it last week They ended up, he ended up giving the ball away, which if the field goal was made by Gonzalez, you probably don't win that game, right?
Mm. It was such Might a bad it. Interception. It was such a bad interception. So that's it. So you just know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that was part of the question. So people are asking Josh McDaniels, hey, do you have faith in Cam Newton? Yeah, absolutely.
As, hold on, as a passer.
As a passer. You have confidence in him as a passer. But absolutely.
What can he say? No, okay. I don't. We have to run
My
him. Don't
point,
you see him?
If I'm Cam Newton, I would be like, please don't do me any favors. Please don't lie to the press. Please don't lie to them. I don't have faith in myself. I don't have faith in myself. I can't make – if you watch the film and you sit there and you look at some of the throws on third down or play action passes when there's only two or possibly three guys going out in a route, I sit there and go, throw it. Throw it. Like it's like he's if he anticipates it and lets it fly, he's got a shot. But he's always second guessing himself. It's either he doesn't trust himself or he doesn't trust his receivers.
How about next Thursday with that Rams defense and Aaron Donald?
Number one pass defense? That should be just fine. And then Aaron
They're not gonna pass it. They're gonna pass it 11 times.
You know, I had this discussion last night and it was like him coming back and I said the only scenario I could see is where Bill just looks at his roster and says, you know, there's a defensive player that I can't pass up at 10, wherever they're at, and has to build the roster, you know, first before he goes and gets a quarterback, right? But even that scenario I could talk myself out of it. Because even in that scenario, I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor. I'd rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'd rather probably have six or seven quarterbacks that have been in this league before than Cam Newton, no matter what the price is. Because you'll be able to spend $6, $7, $8, $10 million next year in a quarterback if you want. Right? You're all that salary cap. I don't want to bring this guy back for another, you know, $2 million deal, incentives up to $8 million. I just don't want to see it anymore.
Okay,
because I'd like to see some development from the wide receivers and tight ends, and they can't do that with this guy.
Okay, but do you feel comfortable if he drafts a guy in the first round, and we're seeing guys including Herbert this week, rookies who are getting an opportunity to play. I don't believe if Belichick drafts any of those kids in the first round, maybe if he even got up to draft Trevor Lawrence, that you would absolutely see him in game one.
Well, Lawrence you would.
Probably, he's maybe the only one. Maybe Fields. Justin Fields, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But even if you're doing that, that's not Bill's system with any position. We're seeing that. It's painful sometimes how slowly they develop these young players along. And I don't think you're going to see it with a quarterback next year. So, Lou, I think you're going to see one of those guys anyway, whether it's Fitzpatrick or any of these guys. You're going to see one of those guys.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
All right, Kyrie is coming to town finally. It was good because we've been all waiting for Kyrie Irving to come back to Boston. The schedule is set. Kyrie is coming to town. We'll get to that and more right here on OMF coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On Twitter,
at Lou Merlone.
I obviously agree with Lou.
But what? I don't know what the hell I even said.
Back to OMF.
On WE.
10 seconds left in the game. Who's shooting?
Depends on who's hot. One thing I've always been comfortable with is I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
On my top five books, okay. Well, I have books around me right now. Some of these books you can't even get unless you pay like $500 for it. Some of these books are hidden in libraries for a reason. That's another story. We'll get to that on another sitting with Kai.
If you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fly back.
When I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King.
I want Kyrie to be more selfish.
I don't really see us having a head coach. KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jacques Vaughn could do it one day. It could be. It's a collaborative effort, I think, on our part.
Sometimes I feel like I have to hide my gifts to dumb it down to be a basketball player.
Oh my God. Oh my God. He's such a dope.
I love the perk line. If you take Kyrie's brain,
silly and he's such a pain. Flowing right now.
Put it in a bird. The bird will fly backwards.
Are there any Kyrie Irving defenders out there anymore?
617-779-7937. Where are the Kyrie defenders?
I mean, he's a very good basketball player.
Excellent.
You know, and granted, he's a team killer, right? And I wouldn't want him on my team, but he's a good basketball player within a game, I suppose. But it's just like, how do you defend it? Like, the guy tries to pass on so much wisdom. Like, he's so much smarter than everybody else.
Oh, he is.
Like, it is so annoying.
Yeah, I'm convinced that, listen, there's a lot of guys that he did not get along with. And I'm convinced that one of them, being Jaylen Brown, was right. So just disgusted and almost like, you can just see, you know, Kyrie Irving coming around trying to, you know, spit some mad game and try and look all smart and evolved. And yeah. Jaylen Brown sitting here checking him every time he says something because he's so stupid. Yeah. It's such nonsense.
Back of a plane, Kyrie throwing some wisdom, and Jaylen yeah. turns around. He's like, that wasn't Aristotle who said that.
Like, to be or not to be. No, I made that up. No, you didn't.
No, you got it wrong.
So that's why when you look at it, and he's coming to town on Christmas Day with the Brooklyn Nets. First time back in Boston because apparently he's had all sorts of injuries that have
first time
prevented
he'll play.
Him. Yes, for prevented him from coming back to Boston.
And we'll see. By the way, he's still got a few weeks.
That's a good point. They start tomorrow, right? Or something like that. And, of course, there's going to be nobody in the stands, which is exactly a perfect situation for Kyrie. And he'll probably go up against Jeff Teague for a good portion of the game, and he'll probably light him up.
Marcus.
Marcus or Jaylen. Two guys that I don't think like him. Two guys
Marcus
that I don't think like him.
Yeah, yeah, those probably going to spend. Marcus will probably spend considerable amount of time with him. But you look at that team and you say they're loaded with talent, the Brooklyn Nets, because he's as much as you want to call him an a-hole, he really is a good basketball player. I don't know, top 15, something like that. Kevin Durant, a top 5 player, healthy.
I mean, I'm not gonna listen. I know he's a good basketball player, but when's the last time he played a full season and actually made an impact?
Right.
I get it. He's a 4 years ago?
Two.
Sure.
Three.
Sure. But I don't know who this guy is. And I could say that situation with Kevin Durant, they better be really good friends. They better love each other.
No, it could be a mess.
Because I can easily see that imploding. You think Kevin Durant is like, listen, he got along great with Clay and Steph.
Anytime you come out before the season started, after you hire a new coach and say, we really don't need a coach. Yeah. You know, and Durant kind of agrees with him. Yeah. And you're like,
oh my God.
What in God's name is going to happen in this place?
Yeah.
Like, neither one of you
out.
Feel like you need a coach? Good luck.
Yeah.
Steve Nash should quit.
So the only way this works is Steve Nash, it just basically just has to stay out of the way. I mean, he can't do any of this, you know, hard coaching where he's challenging them and, you know, leaving empty gas cans in the locker.
I'm not sure that's his style, though, Christian. Just going back and remembering him as a player and a point guard who was constantly active on every single thing that was happening on the court. He knew everybody's position, what everybody was supposed to do on every single play. I think it could be a disaster.
Yeah, well, I also think the problem, too, is that Steve Nash, Hall of Fame point guard.
Yep.
So, you know, Kyrie does some stuff, and Steve's like, hey, by the way, I might be able to help you out. So, and then Kyrie looks at him because he's got four heads. You're going to help me?
Yeah, I know better.
Like,
I have a lot of books.
Me?
I have expensive books. Like, no, the fact that this is played on Christmas, and so the fans really haven't had a chance to kind of give him the business because
they
the
won't
last
hear
time
either.
He was hurt, he didn't play, and I think he probably kind of said, listen, I don't want anything to do with this. I want to save my rep. And now there's not going to be any fans in the game in the first, you know, that first weekend, that first string of games on Christmas Day. So nobody's allowed to yell and scream and
it'll come. People don't forget. It's like the Astros. It'll come. People don't forget. Like, it could be 2 years from now. It could be 3 years from now. You know, because by the time they get fans in, maybe there's another injury with Kyrie. Whatever. 3 years from now, his ass will get booed at the Garden.
Could be playing on a different team by the time that happens. So ESPN came out with their projected standings, and they did this whole simulation where they went through every game. There are 72 games, by the way, in the NBA season this year. Mm-hmm. They projected Celtics would win 39 of them, and they would be a number 5 seed. But I caution you in saying now that was before the Kemba Walker injury, and they have already said that they're doing a simulation on all 72 for the Celtics without Kemba for a
portion. So if you take 2 wins off, where does that put them? Say 37 wins.
That would put them down below the Nets.
So 6th.
So 7th seed?
But 6, right? So yeah, because they're 5, Nets are 6.
Yeah.
So they just flip-flop.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of realistic. Like, I don't know what you guys think about this team, but I think 5 is realistic. Or 6, especially the team like the Nets. Now, they got Indiana above them, Miami, Philly, Toronto, and Milwaukee. Like, I don't think it's that far-fetched.
Well,
especially with the way the season is kind of starting, with Kemba Walker not being out there and your depth already a big question mark. I know everyone's hoping that, you know, the big things from the draft picks, Neesmith and Pritchard, just like the Patriots' two tight ends they drafted.
Yeah, you're asking for too
but,
much.
But, you know, the NCAA season was cut short. There's no summer league. You got 2 weeks of camp.
Yeah.
And hopefully you get a full 2 weeks and you don't get a COVID, you know, scare and you got to shut the facility down. These kids aren't going to be ready to help out of the gate, more so this year than ever.
They're still trying to find a way to get Romeo Langford to help the team. And
he's not
going to
be
later.
Ready till February.
No. I mean, this is anybody that expects these rookies to come in here and just light it up right out of the gate or be part of your rotation right out of the gate, forget about it. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of those guys or both of them spent time up in Maine. Spent time up in Maine in the first few months of this season. Yes. So we get to Kemba Walker.
I mean, are they even going to have that?
Yeah, they have in the G League, yeah, as far
I'm
as
just,
I know.
I was just curious. Because
Stocko's got to go somewhere. Right? Where's Stocko going to go? He's got to go somewhere. Kemba Walker met with the media today, one of these Zoom things, and he talked about the knee after receiving the stem cell injection.
The goal was to just kind of get to the bottom of things for the most part, just pretty much see, you know, figure out what would help me, you know, get back to, you know, who I am as a player. It's supposed to help me. I know that. It's supposed to help me. A lot of good stuff with the knee. You know, I just went into it. You know, I trust the doctors. I trust the people who's helping me. And, you know, it was the best way to go. So, you know, it's definitely calmed my knee down a lot, to tell you the truth. I'm feeling really good right now. So, you know, just like I said, just taking my time and, you know, trying to continue to feel good and get stronger. You know, just decided not to rush back and, you know, take my time and, you know, just get healthy. You know, I've had a pretty long run. Haven't had much of a break since I've signed here. So I think it'd be nice for me, to tell you the truth.
Take a break?
Hasn't had a break.
He had a huge break.
A long break.
None of this is good. And the way he's sounding right now, you almost get the feeling that he knows he's going to be limited in how many games he's going to be able to play. Now, Dr. Chow was all over the internet today on Twitter, and he's throwing out there and not giving you a great future with Kemba Walker because this is going to be a constant issue. And I don't know how you get around not thinking that this thing is going to be a problem going forward.
No, it's chronic.
Yeah,
you can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
You can hear it in his voice that he's like, man, I just need something. And they're telling me it's supposed to help me out. I just don't know how. I mean, if it does help him out, this is not the first time he's going to do this. I mean, this is a maintenance issue. This is a new way of life for him. It doesn't mean he can't be great. It can't mean he can't be good. But it's a constantly, okay, let's always err on the side of caution.
Got
to
manage.
How do you feel today?
Yeah.
How do you feel today? I feel all right. Not as good as you know, back him off. Back it off. Sit him. You know, because really, the regular season, who cares about the regular season? Who cares?
Well, it's going to be, how do we ramp this guy up for the postseason?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a plan in place starting in January. When you reevaluate him, by the way, it's not like he's playing. When you reevaluate him in January, what does mid-January look like? What does February look like? Maybe you bring him back again a little bit in March and then try to get him ready to go for when the postseason starts. That's
so
where we're at.
He was asked about the Celtics, and he said he thinks the Celtics got better this offseason.
I mean, I can't predict the future, honestly, but I think we're good. I think we got better, you know, especially, you know, adding Tristan and Jeff. They definitely help us big time. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Anything can happen. But we're gonna work hard. We're going to put in the work to get to where we need to be. And that's what's most important. You know, just about us getting better throughout the year. You know, staying together, you know, especially when things get tough, because things are going to get tough, you know, just like they do for every team in this league. So, you know, it's all about what you do through adversity. You know, as long as we stay together, you know, hopefully that can help us get over the hump that we need to get over.
So he's all over the place there. I mean,
did you hear that little buzz after he lied? He's like, did you hear that? Like right after he said, I think we got better. Go ahead, play it. Yeah.
I think we got better. Lie detector going off?
Yeah, I think we got better. The lie detector went off. Bing, 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 bing.
I think we got better.
You don't believe that.
We should have one of those for Bill.
You don't believe that. Let me ask you, going into the season, do you think Celtics fans felt better about the team last year than this year? with Kemba and Jalen and Tatum and Gordon.
God, yeah. They're not better.
And Marcus Smart
right now.
No, there's no way they're better.
No.
Well, like last year, what was the over-under like in wins? I know they won 48, but wasn't it more like 50, 51, 52? I mean, Vegas has them right now fifth, one game ahead of the Nets, and maybe you don't believe they're better than the Nets. So this is who they are. They're five, they're six.
Well, how many of those?
And depending on how long Kemba misses,
right,
they absolutely could fall to seven. It's not that unrealistic.
How many of the 72 does he play? I think you've got to take that into consideration.
Because 35, 40?
Okay, so you're not as good.
My lie detector doesn't play.
So you have no Gordon Hayward, and so you haven't replaced him. Now, granted, you know Tristan Thompson might help you out a little bit more, but what happens if you get an injury to Jaylen Brown or Tatum? Let's say they miss 15 games. You're going to have a difficult time winning those 15.
No, listen, you're not. That's not unrealistic.
What if both of them get hurt at the same time?
Oh. What if they both get hurt at the same time?
The biggest things, last night I argued with Holly, right, because he goes crazy. I like my discussions, my Gordon Hayward discussions with Holly. But I tried to just ask him a simple question. Who takes Gordon Hayward's 33.5 minutes a game?
What do you
right? say? And I know he only played 52 last year, and I know that games played is an issue. But when he plays, it's 33 minutes. It's 17.5 points last year. It's seven boards. It's four rebounds, or four assists, rather. And I don't think anybody thought that he was this great, great all-star, this great player. He was a different guy here in Boston. But those are valuable minutes, 33. And the response was Marcus Smart. And I'm like, he's already playing 33. Like, you can't get 40 minutes in a regular season for Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Postseason's a different story. So in a regular season, maybe they have more shots.
Well, is he talking about the minutes?
And the minutes right now, it's Semi Ojeleye. That's who it is.
Is he? Because the rookies aren't going to fill in early on. Maybe later on in the season they can help you a little bit. But is he talking about picking up the offensive production? Because I think somebody's got to look at that. How about the rebounds? How about the defense that Gordon Hayward gives you?
You can't sit there and tell me that the starters like Hayward, Brown, and Smart, Tatum and Brown are going to pick up the extra minutes that you lost. They might pick up the scoring, which might scare you because you might get a lot of Marcus in the playoffs, which is, you know, 14, 15 shots a game without Hayward like you saw. But it's more about we questioned the depth, and yes, Jeff Teague, Tristan Thompson, they added some depth there, but they now have an even bigger hole at arguably maybe a better position, a tougher position.
Yeah, but Tristan Thompson doesn't
that
give
wing.
You what you're lacking. I mean, he's not going to score that much. He's going to help you on the rebound. But look at this. So take Gordon Hayward, and now you lose Kemba Walker. You're taking those two players out of your lineup for a good portion of the games coming up this season. You're not nearly as good a team.
No.
And I guess, Tristan Thompson. I think it was a good move to get Tristan Thompson. But he's not making up for that. That's not what his job is.
And Josh McDaniels doesn't have confidence and faith that Cam Newton could throw the ball down the field. let's just put them all in one big bucket.
The lie detector buzzer. I like the buzzer.
But again, what is Kemba going to say? No, we're not as good.
No, I think he got better.
We took a big step backwards. This hour's been brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, locations in Salem, New Hampshire, and Dedham right next door to Legacy Place. While a WEEI host has admitted to owning an absurd number of houseplants. How'd they find out? That's coming up next. We wrap it up with Last Call. I'm on.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
It's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, now stretch my thumb.
Would you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Great time to clean out that garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids, now offering contact-free pickup. You call today, 1-877-CARS-4KIDS, or online at carsforkids.org. Well, apparently Danielle has admitted to owning an awful lot of houseplants. She did it this morning, and I'm wondering, should we be a little bit concerned?
I can't stop staring at how many houseplants you have. I mean, it's...
This is nothing. Maybe tomorrow or the next day. I was planning on working on my Christmas display for Zoom, since we'll be home for a little bit. But maybe I'll move some of the other plants in here, because, I mean, we've got a lot going on with the cabinetry. There's a lot.
Jesus.
A lot of plants.
It looks
light
like...
Light the plants up, Danielle. Light them up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like you're working at a garden center. I mean, how many plants do you have?
At this point, we've got to be probably around 160.
Oh, my Jeez. Lord.
160?
I mean,
wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20. There's at least 40 behind me in these three cabinets. I have two small Millsbow cabinets over there that have 4-inch pots, so that's about 15 on each shelf, so that's another 90.
I mean, there's some kind of, I mean, do you have a therapist? There's some kind of
Everyone should have a therapist, Greg.
I got to tell you, wow. when we're going to play this, and I hadn't heard it before. I was going to confess to you guys that I actually have a fat green thumb, and I do have a lot of houseplants, and I do mess around with houseplants. 160? 160 is about 140 more than I have.
What does that mean, messing around with houseplants?
How many do you have?
Danielle, I'm right there. Like, I'm focusing more on Greg. Like, that wasn't even edited, right? Like,
no,
I'm fascinated with how he talks sometimes.
Is he a robot?
I really am.
Like, is he a real human being?
Play it real. Don't edit it. I don't even know if you have
that. Here's the unedited version. Unedited right here.
I mean, how many plants do you have?
that's the tape from this morning. I'm fascinated by him.
No, I didn't touch that one.
No, you did.
But just for the sake of being fun, let's hear it edited.
How many?
A lot of water, right? Yeah. That's a lot of maintenance. Got to go around 160 plants and put some water in them?
Think about how much time you have to devote to water 160 plants.
Well, at least it's not 160 cats. Then I'd really worry about.
Oh, my God. Then I'd really worry about Danielle.
That's what's next.
More than 10 cats.
I know she's got a bunch of squirrels running around there and a bunch of animals, but...
Hi, Mutt.
Oh, sorry. We was talking to Tyler here. What's up? What's up, boys? What's going on?
Hey, Mutt.
Not too much. Yeah. We're just watching a beautiful, well-executed football game and doing a show.
Well, hold on.
I gotta hold on.
It's contagious now.
That's gotta be edited. It's got to be edited. And by the way, the best part of the clip, for the record, is that someone has like an old school phone in the background, like it's a doctor's office phone. So someone still's got a landline at their home. That is unbelievable. Go ahead, Forey. I'm sorry, buddy.
I mean, there's some kind of. I mean, it's. I. You need. Do you have a therapist? There's some kind of.
Everyone should have a therapist, Greg.
What's up, buddy?
I love him. You lost the bet.
What's that now?
You lost the bet, our wager. Ew. And I'm trying to figure, now that we're all at home, I'm trying to figure out what are you going to have to do to pay off this debt?
I am going to have to eat the hot pepper medley that I have not brought in yet. That's a bet I totally spaced on.
What is the bet? It was for your show, you against
the
world.
I can still do the crossover. No, I lost to Forey. Forey beat me in picks. It's a great job by you with everything happening over the weekend. We got that text. I sort of forgot about it. So what do you have to do? I have to eat a hot pepper medley on the air.
When's that going to happen?
It's going to happen on Monday. It's got to happen before a short show. Before a 4-hour show. I'll do it right before my show. I'm fine doing that during the crossover. I wish you guys were here to see it because I'll be crying and vomiting on the air.
This has got to be Zoom.
I'll get on Zoom for that. But yeah.
Should we have Brian Barrett on just there? Just
I think people are going to want to see it. Your fans are going to want to see it.
It's like only an yeah, we'll do it on Zoom Monday, December. What do you mean, my fans? What the hell are you talking about, Forey?
You got a bunch of teenage girls waiting outside the studio.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, what teenage girl would love the guy who talks about gambling 24 hours a day, seven days a week?
That's what they're into right now.
Give me a break. That's a hot topic right now.
Abs and you were 19, I'd say yeah.
I mean, you guys know Mutt's got a lot of fans.
How many?
Oh, I mean, just dozens of fans. It's incredible.
So what are you doing tonight, Mutt?
We're going to talk about the commissioner, Roger Goodell, who defended his sport tonight on national television. And Andy Hart will join us as well on the topic of platooning quarterbacks. Is it time to get the Chris Leak, Tim Tebow quarterback platoon here in New England? We'll talk about that and a bunch of other stuff here tonight on the show with Andy Hart.
All right, tomorrow, Craig Carton will join us. If you're not familiar with who Craig Carton is, he's on WFAN. He's back. He was gone for a couple years.
How many years?
Of ticket Ponzi schemes he got involved in. And the HBO
documentary. Are you saying that right?
I'm saying that right. He went to prison. Okay. He's out, and he's on WFAN afternoons. He'll join us tomorrow. If you missed any of today's show, don't forget you can listen on demand on the freeradio.com app. Just text app to 37937. Fellas, we'll do it all again tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
No football game tomorrow afternoon. See you, boys. It's just us.
Later. Later.
Is it time to walk away? I done.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.